President George Bush said in a speech before the United Nations Assembly that America and the West face a, quote, grave and gathering danger. America is in the midst of a global war on terror. At stake is the survival of the freedoms we have long enjoyed. Though at the same time, our nation faces another war of equally grave danger. It's a war of a different kind, a culture war within our very gates. For more than 40 years, we have faced major societal changes impacting every major social institution. In the midst of these ongoing struggles, where are the churches and major religious institutions? Where have they been? Our program today is America's Culture War, The Role of Religion. Have the majority of those who hold to godly moral views been overcome by the world? Has American religion been transformed by the prevailing culture rather than changing the world? Stay tuned to today's Good News program for the answers.
Welcome to the Good News program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Welcome to the Good News. I'm here with Darris McNeely, and welcome back,
Gary.
We've been talking a lot in programs, when we continue to discuss the culture wars that the United States is in. But there's something happening in this country that's actually changing society. We've talked a little bit about culture wars. What do we mean by that?
Briefly, Gary, culture wars refers to a divide that has taken place in the country based on a number of different issues. It's political, liberal versus conservative. In religion, it's, let's say, the same liberal conservative, but secular versus religious perspective and point of view. We find it coming up so much. Well, you may remember there was an accurate and graphic depiction of it in the 2000 presidential election with the red states and the blue states and the division there between the two presidential candidates, Bush and Gore, at that particular time. That reflected a culturally divided country. Certain specific issues that we see continually polarizing people are gay rights, for instance, the homosexual agenda, those that might legalize marriage between same-sex partners as opposed to those who want a more traditional point of view. We find it in the area of abortion legislation. We continue to see that dividing our country, those who feel abortion is a constitutional right for a woman as opposed to those who see it as murder and something that is an affront to a moral society and God and should not be a part of our country. And so we find those issues dividing people in many different ways, all making up part of what we call this idea of a culture war.
Yeah, some sociologists and a lot of religious people look at this culture war and say that this is really maybe even more dangerous than the war on terror. I mean, this is a real threat to society as we know it. I mean, do you feel it's that serious?
Yes, I do. And I think it comes down to that because so much of our actions in this culture war, if you will, highlights behavior and action that transgresses the law of God. And you might ask, well, what if there is no God? Well, all right, then that's what this program is all about. That's what we stand for. If there is a God, and if that God of the Bible does have a moral absolute and a standard, and what he says about it does make a difference and is important, then we need to look at that and understand what he says. Let's assume for a moment that he does have an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
What do we find from the Bible that tells us how God looks at a nation that has abandoned the commandments and a morality based on his law? We turn to the book of Isaiah, for instance, the first chapter, we find where God had a problem with ancient Israel, the nation that was his. And he basically said that they were a sinful nation in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 4. He said they were a people filled with iniquity in verse 4, a brood of evil doers, children who are corruptors. And in verse 6, he said, from the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment.
That's an ugly image, isn't it?
It's a very ugly image. And he goes on to talk about the religious expression of the nation of Israel at that time that has an interesting application and almost a mirror of our country today, if we really want to look at it, because people came before God then, and they had their form of worship, and they tried to, in their own mind, do what was right. But God was basically saying, I'm not listening to you. He goes on in the same chapter to basically tell them what he hated about their actions and the fact that their religious worship coming to him in church services or other forms of worship really wasn't getting through, wasn't making a difference in their life. He said in verse 15, when you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Those are pretty strong words that open up this prophecy from Isaiah and just continue right on through a good portion of the book to show that with God, it did make a difference.
And also, so what you're saying is the scripture shows us that the state of a nation and its religious state, the state of relationship people have with God, you can't separate those two issues then.
No, you can't. Isaiah's message, as well as the message of many of the prophets, is not just to Israel and Judah of the ancient world, but it was to the nations. Mm-hmm. Then, and very strong case can be made, as we do in so many other parts of our program, show that it's also applicable to the nations today. It's applicable to any country, any nation at any time that dares to transgress the Word of God and not hold that at a very high level.
We want to tell you how you can get today's booklet that will tell you why this information applies to you. We'll be right back.
Where does the United States of America appear in Bible prophecy? What was behind the surprising rise and sudden fall of the British Empire? Why is the U.S. at the peak of its power? It's an amazing story. The unprecedented rise of the English-speaking peoples to dominant positions of power and influence over the modern world. To learn more about the astounding Bible prophecies about the United States, be sure to request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. Call now. 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, you'll discover the truth of this surprising story. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
Welcome back. We're discussing some very important information today with a minister in the United Church of God, Darris McNeely. Darris, we were talking about beforehand the culture wars going on in the United States. Let's maybe briefly look back to the founding fathers and how they would have looked at some of this.
Well, that's important to understand, Gary, how they felt, because so much of the discussion today tries to rewrite what they felt, and the founding fathers, those who wrote the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, and were instrumental in bringing this nation about, what they really meant, and the role of religion. So many are trying to rewrite that whole story, and it's not always true as the way it comes out. It's interesting to note, the founding generation of this country referred to the Bible in their writings more than any other document extant at that time, from about 1760 to 1800. That generation went to the Bible more than any other book, any other source, to find principles upon which to found this nation and its governing documents.
Well, of course, the pilgrims, I mean, we think about the peoples who came here,
yes,
from Europe, many of them were
escaping
actually
religious oppression.
So that really religion and even the Puritan ethic had a strong effect on the formation of this early part of this country.
Oh, it's essential to the founding of this country from the pilgrims on forward and through the founding fathers. Quote after quote we could bring out, talk about how they felt. James Madison, who was called the father of the Constitution, recognized that the success or failure of that body of laws in this country was going to depend upon how this nation looked at the Ten Commandments. And he specifically referenced the Ten Commandments in one of his statements. So there's no question how they felt, how they looked. Benjamin Franklin called for prayer on the daily deliberations of the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. And so there's no question as to the religious roots of this country. In the early part of the 1800s, a Frenchman named Alexis de Tocqueville made a great tour of our country and wrote about it. And one of the interesting things he recognized about the nature of this republic and the American character was the role of religion as a foundation of so much of our public life and public institutions. He said, basically, you cannot separate the role of religion. Regardless of what people felt and believed or how deeply they lived their faith or whatever, he just understood that religion of the American variety that had sprung up in the soil was something that was unique and could not really be completely separated from institutions and the public life. And so it's been there.
But that brings us to an interesting problem and dilemma. I mean, if we look at historically then the United States and the religions that people brought with them from Europe, which were basically Christian religions.
Right.
There are different varieties, but they were basically Christian. They held some things in common. That is the foundation of our institutions and of our government and how this country grew. They're being torn apart now. What does that mean? I mean, how's that going to change our culture, our country?
Well, a great deal. Even though today we are still nominally a religious nation. We have churches on virtually every corner. We have Christian bookstores. The Bible still is a bestseller. Mm-hmm. But there have been tremendous social changes in political, cultural changes in the last 40 years in this country. And a good question to ask is, where have all of the churches and the religion been as we have seen a moral decay take place in this country and other problems come out with so many of the changes that have taken place? Where have the churches been? What has been the role of religion, even though we have mega churches of thousands and thousands of people and still mainline established churches as part of our life? Where were they? Why didn't they halt this trend? It's an interesting question to ask, and I'm not the only one that's ever raised it. It's been put out before. In 1980, we had the founding of the Moral Majority with the Reagan inauguration and the revolution that took place, and there was a feeling among many religious people in this country and led to the founding of the Moral Majority that they could legislate a moral country back into existence in this land. Unfortunately, within 10 years, the Moral Majority folded up and went out of business.
And things actually sped up more the other way.
Yes, they did. They say to President Reagan that he won the Cold War, but he lost the Culture War, which is interesting. But what is even more telling was a statement made by a man named Paul Weyrich in 1998 in the wake of the impeachment scandal of that year. He made a statement, and Paul Weyrich was one of the founding members of the Moral Majority. He said that essentially Christians, evangelical Christians, conservative Christians in the United States have lost the Culture War. He surveyed the scene at that time and recognized that in 1998, he said, we've already lost. And this was one of the founding members of the so-called Moral Majority in 1980.
Wow, that's frightening.
It was a frightening statement.
Okay, but if a majority of people still claim to be Christian, you know, and we talk about the Christian faith, which is your belief system and how you live your life, what's wrong with the Christian faith? I mean, it's almost like, is it a dead faith? How do we have a living faith? Because it is possible to believe but not have it living right in you. So why isn't Christianity living?
Well, that goes to the heart and core of what people believe and what churches teach. Forget the polls that say 80% of people attend church. Those are meaningless, and they're probably not completely accurate, some other polls indicate as well. There was an interesting study done recently by a sociologist that basically shows that religion has gone soft in our country, even though we have many religious people and big churches. And
soft, you mean in their message?
Soft in their message and their core beliefs. Mm-hmm. In a book entitled The Transformation of American Religion, a man by the name of Alan Wolfe went through so much of the different types of religion in this country and came to a conclusion that for the most part and throughout all aspects of American religion, they have been essentially transformed by the surrounding culture. Instead of the religion and the church transforming the culture of a people and of the nation, he indicated and showed through his research and studies that the culture has homogenized and dumbed down, if you will, so much of the basic core beliefs. He showed that among large numbers of members, their doctrines and teaching on core Christian doctrines such as heaven and hell and judgment and salvation had kind of gone soft because they were reaching out for this great unchurched majority of people in the land, and they don't want to turn those people off. The indication was those people don't want to hear anything really hard or important. Mm-hmm. He also said that mainline denominations have softened their message in the same way as well because they did not want to lose the members that they had, and they've been declining over the decades in their membership. And so when it comes to core biblical doctrines, heaven, hell, judgment, and salvation, He found that so many of the religious perspectives has softened over the years, and that's because people, by and large, don't really want to understand and put their nose in the scriptures and really understand what the God of the Bible teaches.
It's interesting, of course, because the early New Testament church, according to the book of Acts, turned the world upside down.
Yes, they did.
And now what we have is the world turning Christianity upside down. The opposite's happening of what Christianity is supposed to do.
That's right.
We want to tell you about the booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. This booklet contains a lot of very important information. It starts with Abraham, God's calling of Abraham, why God called Abraham, what he did through him. It goes through the history of ancient Israel. It goes through what God is going to do in the future with the return of Jesus Christ and how this information is important to you. We'll be right back.
Where does the United States of America appear in Bible prophecy? It's an amazing story. In our free booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, you'll discover the truth of this surprising story. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headlines.
Now, Darius, before the break, we were talking about religion and how soft religion has gotten. I think a lot of it is people don't want to accept there's a personal cost to truly being a Christian.
There is, absolutely. If you're going to obey the teachings of God, you've got to be willing to pay the price. And the price is not so much money as it is a change in your life and a commitment to a way of life. And that is what people are finding hard to do and when they really understand what the Bible does say and what God expects. We can look at all kinds of statements that perhaps lull us into a sense of religion being a dominant force, but since 9/11, we've seen attendance figures and all of those things go back to the pre-9/11.
They went up and then back down.
And they went back down. What Americans need to recognize is that we have a very grave danger confronting us without. The president and his administration has defined that as a war on terror. But we also have a grave danger of another war, a different nature, a culture war, if you will, to use that term, going on within our boundaries, within our walls, that is equally as grave, if not more so. In fact, if we really understood, it's a bigger danger than the one without, because it's an abandonment of God at the heart and core of our belief system. We need look no further, again, to the message of the prophets to understand how important this is. When we go back to the book of Ezekiel, for instance, God shows that the individual can make a difference. The individual has to come to a point where they will turn from their ways. In verse 27 of Ezekiel 18, it says, "When a wicked man turns from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive." The individual can make a difference. They can change. And that's where the ultimate responsibility lies. God, through the prophet, ends this session. He says, "I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live." He says, get a new heart. Get a new spirit. "For why will you die, O house of Israel?" God doesn't want anyone to die and to have to suffer because their heart has not been right with him. And his admonition is to change, and that can make a difference.
A new heart. You know, you look at Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah. He talked about there would come a time with a new covenant where God would write his laws on people's heart and give them a new heart. That is the longest quote of an Old Testament scripture in the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. So a change of heart. Christianity isn't a religion. In reality, is a change of people. It's a change of heart.
That's right. That's right. And I think a recent incident has sparked a debate about that, or at least helps us to point to something that is important, and that was the controversy in the state of Alabama over the public display of the Ten Commandments. And everyone got worked up over that on both sides, whether it was right or wrong. religious and non-religious people. But at the real heart and core of that was the fact of it doesn't matter if it's on a block of stone out in public display or on the Supreme Court building or any other public building. It's whether or not it's in the heart. If those laws are not lived by people in their life, I mean all 10 of them, which begins with a commandment against idolatry and having other gods other than the true God. Move no further than that to find how difficult that is in our world today.
Yeah. So this is really more than just a discussion about the display of the Ten Commandments. We're talking about, and I find it interesting, you bring up, do Christians even know the Ten Commandments?
Well, they might have a hard time listing all 10 of them.
That's right. I mean, you think of the one about idolatry.
Yes.
And yet idolatry is common in some Christian churches. The Sabbath day, ignored by much of Christianity. How does God view the placement of the Ten Commandments? Let's go back to the Alabama courthouse situation. I mean, what does that matter to him? How do you think God looks at that?
I think that God looks at it in the same way that he looked at another incident of the display of the commandments that the Bible tells us about that most people are not aware of. And it goes again back to ancient Israel, in this case the nation of Judah, which had at the heart of their whole national existence this great building called the temple of God there in Jerusalem. What was in that temple was a little place called the Holy of Holies. Mm-hmm. And in that Holy of Holies was a box called the Ark of the Covenant. And in that box were two tablets of stone upon which were written.
The ones that Moses had.
The one that Moses had, upon which were written the Ten Commandments. The prophet Jeremiah stood in front of that temple one day at the command and the orders of God, and he said some very striking words. And it's found in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 7. It's a long story. I'll try to summarize a part of it here. But Jeremiah spoke God's words to the people, and he said, "Do not trust in deceptive words, saying, 'This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord.'" They felt because they had this temple, and in it was the Ten Commandments, remember, in their national presence, they were safe.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they had to do. They could do whatever they wanted to do in their life. And they'd be
okay.
They were posted. They were posted, if you will, on stone. And Jeremiah said, don't trust to that. And he was looking to the form of worship that they had, which was merely a form. It was very hollow. There was no substance to it. And he goes on in Jeremiah 7, verses 2 through 11, to warn them, don't feel safe because you've got this building and these commandments. He said, you steal, you murder. In other words, they were breaking those commandments, and they were burning incense to Baal and committing idolatry. And God was saying, I'm going to destroy this house and spread you to the far winds because of your violation of that law. And you've had that as part of your national charter all of these generations. That's how God feels about it. God feels pretty strong about it with his own nation. We are a nation today that we say are under God. We've taken that claim, but today we don't want those words displayed, which reflects the fact that we are not really wanting to live by those words in our life and have them written in our heart and change our character.
I guess what you're saying is that the public display of the Ten Commandments, if all the Christians united and got the Ten Commandments displayed every place publicly in this country, that wouldn't answer the problem.
No, that wouldn't answer the problem at all. That wouldn't make a change unless people were really willing to look at how their life measures up to each one of those commandments. And in virtually every area of our public life and even our private life today, we would have to admit we fall far short of that.
We want to tell you about the booklet once again, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. We're offering free of charge. Remember, everything we offer you is absolutely free, but this information is priceless. It could change your life. And while you're at it, we'll send you a free subscription to The Good News Magazine. We'll be right back.
Where does the United States of America appear in Bible prophecy? What was behind the surprising rise and sudden fall of the British Empire? Why is the U.S. at the peak of its power? It's an amazing story. The unprecedented rise of the English-speaking peoples to dominant positions of power and influence over the modern world. To learn more about the astounding Bible prophecies about the United States, be sure to request your free copy of The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy. Call now. 1-800-966-9232. In our free booklet, The United States and Britain in Bible Prophecy, you'll discover the truth of this surprising story. What will happen to you as these prophecies unfold? Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
It is sad indeed to see the once morally strong United States shy away from publicly acknowledging God and His beautiful law. But it is sadder to realize that its people are not living by it or enjoying the benefits God intends through His law. With God's help, we can change ourselves. We can't change the whole world. Only God can do that. And the Bible shows us this will not happen until the return of Jesus Christ. But you know, you can change your world. And in changing your world, you can make a difference in yourself and others in what they see by the light and example. It may be too late to change the course of the nation and its drift from its long-time moral foundations, but it's not too late for you, the individual citizen, to turn to God in heartfelt repentance. God holds out the opportunity for you. The choice is yours. Choose wisely. Choose life. Darris, thanks for being with us again today.
Gary, it's been my pleasure.
For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
You've been listening to the Good News Radio program, presented by the publishers of the Good News magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.